Right now at Lowe's, get savings you won't believe on our top Whirlpool appliances. Save $1,200 on Whirlpool Gold stainless steel four-door refrigerators, now only $1,299. Or clean up with savings of $600 on Whirlpool Cabrio high-efficiency top-load washers and dryers. Get the pair for $998. Plus, get an additional 5% off every day when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card or any Lowe's business credit account. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 11/14. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello and welcome to the Source of Wealth Talk Show, where our goal is to empower our listeners to break free from debt and poverty one show at a time. I'm G Money, and you have just discovered the Source of Wealth. We will be talking about three of my favorite topics this evening: getting money, getting paid, and surviving a financial crisis. We're coming to you live from the vacation state of Florida. G Money, your hostess, with the absolute mostest. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm excited. Listen, are you unemployed? Are you a struggling business owner? Are you overwhelmed with debt and monthly bills? Are you stressed by the financial effects of divorce? Are you looking to understand mortgage modification, bankruptcy, or how to handle plummeting home values? So many people are looking for help during this financial crisis. Getting advice from seasoned professionals who are experts is the goal of tonight's guest. Tonight, we are bringing answers, solutions, and help for everyone who are facing a financial crisis. We are happy to have you with us, because this is the place of unity. This is the place where the blessing is commanded. And we welcome you to join us on this magnificent evening. We are so pleased that the Source of Wealth Talk Show is a catalyst to get much needed information from the authors to the listeners. And we, each week, we equip listeners with tools that will help them to excel in life. And tonight we have some great information for you, because it is our desire to help our listeners to begin to achieve and enjoy infinite, never-ending wealth. Now, my background music is a Kawan Beatmaker original. Salute me, and I salute you all. Call in and let us know how you like the beat. Call in and send some love our way. Call in to share. Call in and let us know you care. Call in if you have some questions, and most definitely, call in if you have some answers. Hit us up. I'm G Money. And this is the Source of Wealth. And we're talking about getting money and getting paid. Call us at 1-347-989-8958 and be heard. I'm sending love, kisses, and hugs to all of our listeners from meetup.com, Ag, Facebook, MySpace, Blog Talk, all of my family, friends, business partners, fellow Capella University classmates, welcome to the Source of Wealth. No doubt you are in the right place at the right time. Listen, we want to hear from people who are ready to learn how to survive your financial crisis. Because it's time to get money and it's time to get paid. Hit us up. Call us at 1-347-989-8958. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Source of Wealth Talk Show. I am your hostess, G Money. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your calls. We are so excited about tonight's show. Our guest is going to provide some wonderful information, as well as I believe a wonderful opportunity, business opportunity for our listeners. So we're going to get right into the show. This is where the Source of Wealth Talk Show, as you know, this is where we teach our listeners how to make money, how to increase the money they make, and how to keep the money once they make it. Because wealth comes not just by making the money, but by learning how to make our money make money. And finally, by learning to hold on to the money once we make it. Now, last week our guest was author and entrepreneur Theron Shellman. Now, Theron Shellman shared how listeners can tap into their own creative genius. And there are simple steps that each of us can take that will allow us to be more creative on a daily basis and overcome all types of disadvantages, obstacles, and challenges. Now, we're going to name a couple of things that we can do. Keep a notebook and pencil on hand at all times. Write down your thoughts and those creative ideas that come to you. Next, creativity, the key to creativity is to ask questions. Always ask questions. Most of the greatest inventions were created by the question, what if? Also, being a voracious reader. The saying readers are leaders. Reading expand our minds. Reading expose us to new ideas, new information. I often tell people we can gain years of knowledge from the experiences of others that would take us 20, 30, 40 years to get on our own. Also, seek out new experiences. The mind is like a garden, and we have to constantly tend to that garden or weeds will grow. Now, I recommend you listen to last week's show and all of the shows by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/greenmoney62. Now, each show is designed to break the chains of debt and poverty one show at a time. And we cover issues from mindset development to starting a business, money management, time management, investing in real estate. We have it all right here. So tune into the shows. Now, the Source of Wealth Talk Show is all about providing life-changing experience to our listeners, and we're excited to be able to do that every week. And now we have callers on the line, and I am so excited about tonight's guest. I believe she has some information for everyone. We're going to go to our phone lines. We're going to get ready to open our phone lines. We're going to go on and introduce our guest, and we want to tell you a little bit about her. And I'm going to drop a beat. Now, tonight our guest is Vivian Gaspar. Vivian has been the founder and owner of several businesses over the last 25 years. She has also been a public speaker on topics ranging from ID theft, identity theft, to mortgage facts that can help everyone. Now, Vivian has worked individually with over 300 families in financial crisis in the last 2 years as a public relations director and mortgage modification specialist with James Cassidy. I'm going to let her say his name, Castiglia Legal Office in New Jersey. That's where I grew up, Newark, New Jersey. Ms. Gasper assists individuals in the proper completion of mortgage modification applications. Ms. Gasper also gives advice on a range of topics which she has collected from her past experiences, which range from owning a marketing company to being a recruiter to helping people decipher their current mortgages. And she has been a loan officer for many years. Now, Vivian's book, How to Survive Your Financial Crisis, includes helpful information for those who are newly unemployed or those who are long-term and facing long-term unemployment. She has information for homeowners, entrepreneurs, people going through divorce, parents of children with disabilities, as well as information on identity theft prevention and recovery. Vivian also offers information on the basics of bankruptcy. There's even a chapter on how to earn an income from home without being a full-scale business owner. I told you we have something for everyone tonight. And we are so excited to welcome author, entrepreneur, Vivian Gasper. Hello, Vivian. Are you with us?
Yes. Hi, Gwen. How are you doing today?
Oh, wonderful. How are you?
Absolutely. Very happy to be on your show, and I thank you very much for having me.
Well, we are so excited to have you. I've been enjoying your book, and it truly offers something for everyone, How to Survive Your Financial Crisis. Vivian, we're going to open up the floor. We're going to turn the floor over to you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and about your book, and then we'll ask you some questions.
Great. That's wonderful.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Just to really give you an idea of why I created the book, it was very personal for me. In the beginning of 2008, my mortgage basically almost doubled. It went from $2,000 a month to $3,700. And the worst part is I was in the middle of a divorce. And I don't know about anybody out there, but can you really afford a almost doubled mortgage payment? Really, who can?
Right.
And I was told that the only way to fix that, and I was a loan officer, and I thought I knew almost everything, but I thought that when you owe about $100,000 more and your mortgage payment doubles, then you really have no choice but to sell the house. And in that case, it's a short sale, you know, where you ask the bank to accept less money than you owe them. But I thought there was really no other way to get out of that kind of a huge payment. And it took almost a year, and it ruined my credit, but it did actually happen. But right around that time, my husband lost his job. So we were forced to move into his parents' house, about 50 miles away from where we were living for the last 10 years. And the hardest part was that my oldest son was in high school, a senior, and he couldn't move with us. So it really literally tore apart my family, and my son had to live on people's sofas. And at the very end, I found out afterwards that he had lived out of his car. Talk about breaking a mother's heart.
Wow.
And it killed me, because not only was it very uncomfortable to live with in-laws that you didn't, you know, the sort of family that you're trying to, you know, leave through a divorce, but I really didn't want this to happen to other people and families. So shortly after I moved into my in-law's house, I really decided right then that I'm going to do what I could to help people so that they don't face the same situation. Or what if they had absolutely nowhere to go? Even though I didn't like where I was, at least I had that place to go to. So what about the people who have no place to go to? So I sought out education for myself so that I could pass on to others, and that's where I came across the attorney, Mr. Castiglia, James Castiglia, who I ended up then working with. Because I'd love to educate the public, and he wanted someone to work with them, so I did a few things. I gave a lot of speeches. And I knew right then that I was choosing to release my shame because I was very embarrassed that as a loan officer I let this happen to my family. So I had to make a choice. Do I help people? Do I still, you know, be embarrassed? But I chose to release the shame that I was feeling so that I could help other mothers and families not go through that. So, you know, from fall of 2008, almost winter, to current, between Mr. Castiglia and myself, we've helped over 350 families, and some of them were right on the cusp of foreclosure. And during the time that I was doing a lot of this speaking to educate the public, people kept coming up to me asking me to write a book. So in the February of 2010, when one of those instances where people said I need to get the information out to a wider audience, I said, you know, maybe it's worth a good idea, but I didn't want to just write it about this modification, what I was speaking about. I wanted to actually address and solve issues that I found people facing, because the other part of what I was doing for the attorney is to go into people's homes and sit with them and educate them on how to help their situation individually, but also how to start that modification off properly so they actually got approved. Because unfortunately, the banks are not very willing and forthcoming on helping people actually get their modifications, as we found out through experience. So in addition to working with the attorney about 40, 50 hours a week, I took on putting the book together. So I was ending up working at 15 to 20 hours a week doing that. So there was my 80-hour work week along with my three kids for about a year and a half.
Wow.
And I'm very proud of what I put together, because so many people have already emailed me saying how they've benefited from it, because, as you were mentioning, my goal is truly to help everyone. So there's some information, for example, identity theft. You don't have to be in crisis to benefit from that, because that can happen to anyone of any income level. But this is why I get so impassioned about teaching people, because of all the homeowners out there, especially about mortgage modification and understanding the foreclosure process. Regardless of what state you're in, there are some common threads there. And that's really what I want to tell people about the most, but also, of course, the hardest thing is with such a high unemployment rate, I actually am very happy that I have some very unique methods that I want to share with everyone additionally as to how they can get an income mostly from home, but a few other ideas too, when it's too difficult to find the job or you just can't, or perhaps you can't leave the home.
Right, right. Well, wonderful, wonderful. And I commend you, Vivian, on taking your experience and really investing the time and energy to put together this fantastic work. And, you know, there are other authors in your book, and they are all experts in the field that they talk about, right, in the area
Absolutely.
That they talk about.
Well, no one's an expert on everything, and I realize that naturally. But since I knew a lot of people from business networking circles that I belong in, because that's part of how a method that I use to educate the public is belonging to networking groups. So what I did is I wrote an outline of 60 topics that I wanted to see covered, and I cherry-picked at the top 35, and I sought out experts that I thought would be the best fit to cover in my book in very concisely worded chapters. And then there was a few people who then approached me that they wanted to be included. As a matter of fact, one of those is a private investigator. And you're going to say, well, how does that help? Well, first of all, not just the concept of helping you find money you didn't really know you had, but what about when you need an organ donation and you can't find a match, he can actually help you hunt down lost relatives and save your life. How that's included in the book, too. So it's not just about money. It's about literally saving someone's life with this kind of unique information and tips and suggestions. And
yes,
every single author has their information about credentials as well as contact information. So if you want to know more, you can contact each author. Where there's 28 authors.
And now one section that I really love, get special education help for students with disability at no cost. I love that section as well, because we are working with a young lady who formed a nonprofit organization because of some issues that she was experiencing with her twin daughters getting help, the proper help they needed in school. So she started a nonprofit organization to help other families who have children with learning disabilities. So as I read that section of the book, I said, wow, I mean, there's something for everyone in here. You even cover issues about divorce. You know, a lot of people don't understand that, wow, when you go through divorce, it is not only it's not only emotionally traumatic, but it can also be financially devastating and stressful. I went through the same thing, and it really changes your life.
Well, actually, divorce ties in significantly into mortgage modification, believe it or not, because I've spoken with a lot of police officers. I've given a lot of speeches at, for example, unions and police officer benevolent associations and so forth, and I've heard time and time again how this economy in the last several years has caused a rise in domestic abuse of all forms because people can't afford to get divorced. And let's face it, with the rise in not just unemployment, but the self-employed and contractors and commission salespeople who can't find a way to make ends meet because their revenues are down, you think that, unfortunately, they're taking it on their spouses and their children. So, unfortunately, that has a tremendous impact where, if somebody does have a home and they're able to successfully modify their mortgage, it's our experience after 300 clients that the average family saves about $800 to $1,000 a month for 5 years.
Wow.
Think about that for
a
second. And so that money that you're not spending on your mortgage, you put back into your household so you can pay the bills, and it lowers the stress levels of the entire family. And now you don't have to tell your kids no all the time. You don't have to put the heat down, to save a few dollars. You could get the better foods on the table where, yes, I've been in families' homes where they're skimping on the more nutritious foods for their families because they just don't have the money for it.
All right. Just trying to make ends meet. Wow. And, Vivian, what I find very interesting about your story is that you were a loan officer, or a mortgage
Yes.
You worked in the mortgage industry, yet you were still facing possible foreclosure.
Correct. You know why? Because this also happens to realtors. Just because you're late in the industry does not mean you have all the answers unless you know about that particular aspect of things. And that's what I really came to learn. So really, I don't care if you're in the banking industry, if you're a realtor, or if you're a mortgage loan officer. Unless you're specifically knowledgeable in how to stop a foreclosure and how to get a mortgage modification accomplished, you're still going to face the same issues that the average person does. And that's what happened to me. When my mortgage went, think about it, $2,000 to $3,700, 1 month to the next. Imagine you get a bill in the mail from your mortgage company, your statement. And all of a sudden it says over 50%, almost doubled. What would you do? It doesn't matter who you are. You still have to pay that bill.
That's the truth.
And, And at the time, I didn't know I had the alternative of modification, and I didn't go through it. I lost the house, and I had to live in an extremely uncomfortable situation for almost 2 years.
Wow. Wow. You know, we hear this from so many people who just don't understand the like you said, the process. And there are a lot of people, Vivian, who are getting ripped off by people claiming to be able to modify loans. And so I want to ask you some questions. What is mortgage modification?
Well, you have to understand two things. Number one, what is modification appropriately? And also, who is legally allowed to modify a mortgage so you don't get ripped off? So, number one, depending upon your state, that can vary as to who should modify, but let's first address what is a modification. It is not a refinance. If you're able to refinance, you cannot modify. And in reverse, if you can modify, you can't refinance. So you have to understand that there's no closing cost collected for modification. You do not recreate an escrow, like they're not collecting several months of taxes. And if they say they're doing that, I got news for you. It's most likely a streamlined refinance, and they're putting it in the wrong terminology.
Okay.
So just be careful, because no refinance out there is going to give you as low a payment as a government-approved modification will. And the reason that the media has called mortgage modification a failure is because you basically almost feel like you're winning the lottery when you get it accomplished because of how much the banking industry is out of compliance with federal regulations.
Wow.
That's what's going on. I mean, I could tell you really some very scary, scary stories of things that major lenders like Bank of America, Chase, Citi, are doing to people that are completely immoral, in some cases flat out illegal. So it's extremely important to understand, and by the way, in regards to the people ripping you off for modification, number one, the safest way to go is to work with an attorney that is specializing in modification and to ask them for references, make sure they have experience, but do not just work with some company who started doing this because it's most likely they're illegally operating. And make sure that their fee is the same for everyone. I called up an advertisement once wanting to find out what they charge. And would you believe they charge differently for everyone?
Mm.
Isn't that crazy? That's a red sign right there. A red flag.
Yeah.
And so you need to make sure that their fees are the same for everyone and that they were very forthcoming. For example, this company, who had a different fee structure for everyone they spoke to, refused to tell me what their fees were unless I answered 15 minutes worth of questions. Right, there's another red flag.
Yeah. And now I heard somewhere that they said if they tell you to stop paying your mortgage, or they tell you that a payment is required up front, those may be red flags as well.
Well, not necessarily. Let's be honest. If you're working with an attorney does get paid his retainer up front. So that's not necessarily true. Depends on who you're working with. If it's an attorney, like the attorney I work with, all attorneys get paid in advance because that is a attorney service.
All right.
And in regards to being advised to not make payments, I'll tell you right now, and all your listeners naturally, that I have always mentioned to everyone that legally, the way the guidelines for the government programs have been set up, they allow for people to be current and get modified.
Wow.
The problem is there's a huge problem with that.
Okay.
I have yet to see a single lender actually allow someone to get modified when they are current. So I tell people, look, do not make payments because I'm telling you, I've never told someone to skip payments or not make them. I'm educating people to tell them that if you are current, the bank sees it as you're not demonstrating hardship. The bottom line is, remember, it's an adversarial situation. Regardless, I don't care if it's your bank of 15 years. They want the mortgage payment that you promised to give them when you signed the documentation when you got that mortgage. You right. want a break because something happened in your life. That's adversarial. They want what they want. They want their money. You want a break. Guess what? They're not very keen on helping you because you're now asking them to take less money. That translates to less profits for them. Nobody's in business to make less money.
Right, right.
So if you're not demonstrating that you can't, if you're making your payments, where's their incentive to give you a modification? They don't have any. You're making your payments. That's the truth.
Right. And now, you know, Vivian, a lot of people, they've talked about, you know, this mortgage crisis. Some of them, they call it a real estate crisis, and it actually was a mortgage crisis. When they talk about the causes of the mortgage crisis, they say, oh, you know, people got mortgages that they could not afford. But like you said, the problem was people could afford $500. They couldn't afford a double a payment, you know,
right.
Of $1,000. Or in your case, what was your original mortgage payment?
Mine went from $2,000 a month, including taxes, because, hey, in Jersey, we have a little bit higher taxes than most places. But then it went from 1 month to the very next to $3,700.
Yeah.
That's literally almost double.
Right. So the problem
because of the type
people,
of the mortgage it was.
Right. Adjustable rate, right?
Yes, correct, yes.
And so, you know, when they talk about that, oh, you know, that's what caused the mortgage crisis. People got mortgages they could not afford. No, they could afford the payments when they got the mortgage. What they could not afford was the doubling, almost doubling of the payments. And
right.
that
Those
is
types
what
of mortgages
led to most.
Correct, exactly. Those types of mortgages should never have become available. The problem is, and again, I was a loan officer at the time. The loan officer has two options. You, A, sell the mortgages you're told to sell. They made the product available. If the product wasn't available, they couldn't sell them, right?
Right.
The problem, truly, though, is the lenders manipulated the loan officers through sheer greed. What they were never telling the public, and I'm telling you something that is basically like a magician's secret, except it's a loan officer's secret. You ready?
Okay.
I sat in seminars where the lenders would tell you how to make 4 points off of your customers. How disgusting is that? But the loan officers have a choice. You didn't have to do that. The bank was telling you how to make the most amount of money commissions. Ready for that? Now that bank, by the way, is World Savings, and they're out of business. It was bought out by Wachovia, and Wachovia was bought out by Wells Fargo. That bank, whose seminar I sat in 2004, where they clearly said to loan officers, here's how you make 4 points on all your loans. Here's the directions of how to do that.
Wow.
They would pay the loan officer 2 points where the customer never knew about it, and then they would then charge the customer 2 points, so it appears to the customer that they were only getting 2 points. What they didn't know is that they're also getting 2 points as a commission from the mortgage company. Talk about manipulation by the mortgage companies of both customers and the salespeople.
Yes.
The loan officers. And by the way, it's the loan officer's option. Me personally, I never charged the customer's points in front when I knew I was getting the commission from the back from the mortgage company. That was my choice to not take advantage of people.
Right, right. Wow.
Everybody has a choice.
Yes. Now, what are some more secrets that mortgage lenders are keeping from the public?
Well, one biggest thing that's tied into, you know, hardship is understanding lender terminology that they use to scare people out of their money, a.k.a. making sure you make your payments even when you might not have the money. People, unfortunately, and this is so important going into the winter. Why? For those who have heating oil, if you can't pay for oil, you're literally going to be frozen out. And I'm not exaggerating. A friend of mine who had oil heat last winter did not have the money at all. She literally would read to me over the phone, her thermostat was on 49 degrees during the day in her home. So I'm taking this quite literally. It is not an exaggeration. When people don't have money for heat, they can't pay for oil, they're stuck. My words to you is to get to know what your state's foreclosure process is and choose your oil above your mortgage payment if that's what it comes down to. Because there's no reason you and your family should be sick when you have time. For example, in New Jersey, as just one example, you have 2 to 3 years of non-payment before you're foreclosed upon. Do you think the mortgage company tells anyone that? Instead, they use tricky and threatening terminology to scare people into payments. That is extremely important. So that way you take care of your family first, because if you get through the winter, and okay, so you owe a few months' worth of mortgage payments, but you're not going to get foreclosed on, and it's important to understand that. And if you do get foreclosed upon, it is different per state, that's why I say it's important to get to know your state, and remember, ask the entity who has no vested interest in your foreclosure, does not profit from it. Do not ask the mortgage company how long it takes to foreclose, because they want their payment regardless of how they get it. Don't ask a third party who charges a fee. I don't care if it's an attorney or not. The most trusted source for information is one who does not profit. For example, a foreclosure is normally performed by your county sheriff's office. Okay. They obviously are not going to profit from a foreclosure. They're just enforcing the law. It's a sheriff's office.
Right.
So therefore, call up your county sheriff's office, and they'll tell you the skinny. They'll tell you the truth as to how long in your county can you get away with not making payments before you're actually foreclosed upon. In some states, it's 5 months. In New Jersey or other states, it's 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
I literally know somebody who has been in their home this month 3 years without making a single payment. It's important, because that will allay your fears. You will not live in fear day to day. And please, everyone, the most important information I believe I could share with you this hour is never allow your bank to tell you to liquidate any retirement assets, 401ks, IRAs, anything, because it is my opinion that it is far better to owe your mortgage company than to owe the IRS. Why do I say that? If you liquidate retirement monies of any kind, that is taxable income for the tax year you do it in. I sat in a family's home in April. They had liquidated a $100,000 401k, and now they're going to owe as if they earned that. So they earned $50,000 this year in salary. They're going to have to pay taxes on $150,000. That means they're going to owe the IRS about $30,000 to $40,000. You know how long it's going to take to pay that off?
Oh, my goodness.
That is, and by the way, that was told to them to do by a major bank. I can't mention which one, of course. I don't want to get in trouble, but we're talking one of the big five.
Wow.
So in other words,
they just want their money. They don't care what anyone else suffers or go through. They want their money, so they're going to say whatever.
And think about this for a second. When you owe the IRS, you have multiplying upon itself penalties and interest in addition to the principal that you owe. So if someone owes $30,000 from liquidating a retirement account, I guarantee you by the time you pay that off, it'll be $70,000, $80,000 because of the penalties and interest added to it.
Wow.
Now, what is the better situation to be in? Now, this, again, was told to this family by a major, major lender. I won't say which one, but it was either Chase, Citi, Bank of America, et cetera. Well, one of those.
One of them.
I'm not going to say which one. I think that's safe enough. But it was not a small local bank. It was one of the largest in the country that took that billions of dollars in bailout money. Now is the time to take back and look after ourselves, because we didn't get billions of dollars or even a portion
That's
of it, remember?
Right.
A couple
That's
years ago.
Right.
Now is the time to take action.
Wow.
Arm ourselves
with
getting what we can get. And by the way, what's not in the news because it's election year is that the government monies for the guidelines for the modification will expire December 2012. And nowhere is that in the news, is it?
Nope.
Those government programs of making home affordable will no longer be available after December 2012. And by the way, what they're not telling us, unless you've actually gone through the process, is two very important things. It ultimately takes between 8 months to a year to get finally approved, so you better start soon. And the second thing is, if you've been declined, you definitely can try to reapply. They don't give you that impression. They just say, you're declined, too bad, sorry. You definitely can reapply. Even if you've been approved previously and you have a new hardship, if it's been more than 12 months, you can still reapply.
Wow.
These are the things that the lenders don't want you to know, that I happen to know because it's my profession for the last 3 years.
Right, right. Well, I'm going to drop a beat for you, Vivian, because this is some powerful stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Source Wealth Talk Show. I'm your hostess, G Money, and we are talking with Vivian Gaspar, the author of How to Survive Your Financial Crisis. Oh, wow. I'm telling you, so many people need this information because I have a good friend. She was going through the threat of foreclosure, and the loan was shady. The home was paid in full. They told her, well, you can get a loan, so she got it involved in the adjustable rate mortgage and didn't know it and all of this stuff. But I told her, I said, listen, stop conversating with them. Put everything in writing. And because she would just come back with all of these horror stories. Well, they said if I send them, $1,000, they would stop. And she'd send $1,000, and, then they'll be like, well, you're still facing foreclosure if you don't send. Hounding this poor woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
sorry, I apologize. I was going to say, be very careful along those lines when it comes to sending the bank's money when you're behind and you're in arrears. Make sure they apply the money you send, because I've seen many occasions where someone's a few months in arrears, they send a single payment, and the bank will not apply the money. They hold it in a separate escrow account. It's like putting your money in a garbage.
Wow.
So that's what I was going to say. If you send them money because you're scratching it up to make a payment because you're really making an effort, be careful. Make sure the bank will actually apply that money.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I had an incident occur, a friend of mine, actually, and she was 2 months behind. She sent a partial payment, and the mortgage company said, we're sending it back.
That's correct.
We can't do anything with this. And they said, we're going to send this back, and soon it'll be 3 months, and we're going to foreclose.
Well, the problem also, additionally, is that they do not accept partial payments.
Okay.
That's another part of the little tricks thing that they do. They do not accept partial payments. In addition to that, like I said a moment ago, is that if you scratch up one payment and you've missed several, they won't even accept that necessarily. They might not apply it. You need to ensure that they do. And here's the other very big trick. If you've missed several payments, 4 or 5 months worth, they won't even send you statements anymore.
Oh, my goodness. So now, Vivian, if a person, you say in New Jersey, it's 2 to 3 years. So say at the end of that 2 years, a person say, okay, I want to make those payments now. What can they do, to keep their home? If they say, well, I really don't want to lose my home. I haven't made a payment in 2 years. What can they do?
Well, two different things. Number one, be aware that they normally will only stop a foreclosure if you pay it off in full, which, again, if you couldn't make that many payments, how would you come up with 30, 40, 50, 60,000, whatever it may be?
Right.
But if you get an attorney involved who knows what they're doing, like the one I work with, he actually has been successful every single time to convince the bank to put it on the back end and to continue either accepting modified payments, or even if it's a full payment, if for whatever reason they don't qualify for a modification, because there's a very specific, narrow financial requirement for being accepted into mortgage modification. And by the way, I qualify people over the phone for a living. And you have any idea how many times people have said that they've been trying to modify it themselves for a year, 6 months, whatever it may be, and never once did their major lender tell them the information that I give them in a half hour.
Wow. Yeah, I've talked with people who've been trying to work with the lenders, and it's almost like the lenders just don't want to work with them. Or it's like, well, you know, they're trying to force them to come up with the money.
That's exactly correct. I mean, I've heard it's just really sad because remember something. There's a reason banks are so rich. And by the way, they're turning immense profits, and look how they're now installing these new fee programs, you know, for their ATM fees and so forth.
Yeah.
Don't feel sorry for the banks, because nowhere else is it legal for someone to ultimately charge you more than double the face value.
Yeah.
For example, if you look at the document called a Truth in Lending Statement, when you signed your paperwork, it will tell you that if you take out a mortgage, let's say, for example, it's $200,000 mortgage. It says on that piece of paper, if you stay in that mortgage for 30 years, a term, you will ultimately pay more than double back in complete principal and interest. Where else is that legal to do? So a $200,000 mortgage ultimately costs you over $400,000. Where else is it legal to get over 100% back, you know, more than double your original agreed upon payment, you know, total amount? Nowhere. You don't say a $2 loaf of bread is $4, right? Or whatever.
Right. Wow.
I mean, imagine $3 and so for a gallon of gas, $3, are you going to pay $6? So the mortgage companies get it.
Wow. It is big business. And it was even bigger before the crackdown. Now, in your opinion, do you think that how long do you think it's going to take for the mortgage industry to bounce back?
Unfortunately, it's going to be at least a couple more years. They're predicting in 2012, prices, depending upon obviously where you are, will fall yet another 5 to 10%.
Wow.
Depending, of course, where in the country. And by the way, if I might, I wanted to go back for a moment as to, for people who are really and truly going to be foreclosed upon, two very important pieces of information I'd like to share with your listeners.
Okay.
Number one is a policy that banks don't talk about. You have to know about it to ask for it. It's called cash for keys. If someone has to leave their home for foreclosure, ask your lender for cash for keys. What that means is they will pay you to leave your house intact and not destroy it, because people actually who are foreclosed upon have, for example, taken a sledgehammer to their cabinetry or their walls or their toilets or what have you. So your mortgage company will actually pay you thousands of dollars to not destroy the house you're forced out of.
Wow. Okay.
So I really want to make sure your listeners who have to unfortunately be in the situation of being foreclosed upon know that when they eventually leave their home, you can literally get $3,000 to $10,000 or more, depending upon the house and the value of it, to leave. Imagine, you have to be foreclosed, but you're walking away with $10,000 from your bank. Who's foreclosing upon you?
Oof.
But they're not going to volunteer that unless you know enough to ask for it. It's called cash for keys.
Okay.
And the other really interesting thing is, believe it or not, because lenders don't like, especially going into the winter, having amazing large amounts of empty homes, believe it or not, the attorney who I work for actually has negotiated with the banks, some of them, not going to say all, to rent the house back to the homeowner they just foreclosed upon. And they can stay living there and keep the kids in school. So imagine that. You're now renting the house you were foreclosed in at a fair market value.
Wonderful. Wow.
So these are things that don't advertise that you can get if you know how to ask for it.
Right. This is powerful stuff, Vivian. This is powerful stuff. This is information that our listeners need, because, you know, foreclosure is so devastating. I invest in real estate, and years and years ago, I started looking into the HUD homes and everything, and I said, you know, well, man, you know, banks really take homes from people. I went into this one home to look at. It was a HUD home, had been they foreclosed on the people. I walked in the home, Vivian, and it literally felt like the family had just been uprooted and taken out, like the house still felt like it should have been lived in. And it was one of the strangest feelings. I said, wow, people's lives are interrupted through foreclosure. And so it is a real process. It is a devastating process. And people just don't know how to deal with it.
And, so and by the way, exactly. Yes. Think how it affects the children. They might the parents might have to move out of the town, so not only are children taken out of their schools that they may have attended for years, perhaps they're taken out of their sporting team or their Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, their friends. It's emotionally devastating to your children. Not to mention parents who are in that situation, I'm sorry, people are human. They're going to end up screaming and fighting that much more when they're under such overwhelming stress.
Yes, yes.
So this is just really critical, and that's why I want people to know to take advantage of these mortgage modification programs while they're still available before they expire.
Yes. Okay, now what steps can people take to stop the foreclosure now?
Well, obviously, number one is to see if you could do a mortgage modification because it is specific. But besides that, ask for a forbearance. A forbearance is kind of like putting a pause button on your mortgage payments. So imagine if you lose your job, you call up your mortgage payment, your mortgage company rather, and you say, I lost my job. I don't even have enough income. Could you please see about putting me into a forbearance? That is something vast majority of people do not even know to ask for. It is a pause button on your payments for a few months, and then, of course, you can, let's say they give you a three-month forbearance where you don't have to make the payments for 3 months. You go back to them after 3 months if you haven't found the job and say, look, I still haven't been reemployed. Can you please help me go that forbearance extension?
Wow.
And also, just plain old sell or short sale your house. Sale is obviously when you can walk away with some equity if you're that fortunate. And a short sale is simply because the values have fallen below what you owe your lender. And you're asking the lender to take less than you owe them, but at least it's better than having a foreclosure on your record. And by the way, extremely important to know, this is what unfortunately bank lobbyists have accomplished that we don't hear about in the news. As of January 2012, the lenders have the option that they can exercise to have that forgiven dollar amount in a short sale 1099 as taxable income.
Wow. Wow.
This is why the best course of action is to push for modification so you don't face that. Think about it. If in some areas you can have a $50,000 forgiven amount for that short sale, for example, or $100,000, imagine that you get issued a 1099 from your bank as if you earned it and you have to pay the IRS on that. And that's what they could start doing as of January. That's also not in the news. Why isn't it?
Wow.
It's because election year is coming. But these things all can be researched and found out that I'm delivering to you.
Wow. Wow. That's something. I tell you. You know, I guess they feel like, you know, the investors or people who are buying the properties at the lower prices are benefiting, you know. Well, what gets me is they should tax the people who are getting the benefit from purchasing the property, not the people who are losing everything anyway. How are they going to pay taxes? Oh, my goodness, that is scary.
Oh, and by the way, here's an even scarier part. Did you know that if you're foreclosed upon, if you do not handle that foreclosure properly with an attorney, your bank who just foreclosed upon you can actually do the same thing, the 1099-ing for taxable reasons, for the amount that they will lose on your property when they foreclose upon you.
Wow.
Can you imagine? You lose your home, and then you get a bill, like a 1099 sort of penalty, upon the house you were just kicked out of.
Wow.
But it actually can happen, especially, I mean, I know people who live in a home that their parents assisted them with buying, and then they end up losing that home. But because it was an investment property technically for the parents, then they actually have to sign a note, a separate IOU for that forgiven dollar difference because it was an investment property. But in reality, it was just a home that parents helped their adult children buy. So you're getting whacked on both ends. You're losing the home, and now you still have to make monthly payments for the house you were forced out of.
Wow.
Please be aware, be acutely aware of the best situation for you.
This is
so important. That's all I was going to say.
This is some powerful information, Vivian. Now, Vivian, the name of your book, again, is How to Survive Your Financial Crisis. And we've just touched on the mortgage issue, but your book covers so many other topics. Give us a brief rundown, because we have 5 minutes, and I know you have an amazing offer to extend to people for earning money working from home. So,
yep, I actually do.
Well, tell us about that first, then we'll cover some of the other topics if we want to get back.
Okay, fine. I know we're running out of time, and thank you so much for giving me the time to help everyone. But personally, because I would like to see my book get in as many people's hands as possible, I'm actually looking to hire personally 3 very sharp, focused, and motivated individuals, ready for this, to work from home, who I could train to work out of their homes. And because a telephone's a telephone anywhere in the country, obviously. And the purpose of this is they would be presenting my book as a fundraiser to non-for-profits, such as a church, and to corporations as a value-add promotional item. Instead of getting a tchotchke or whatever, like a mug or something, let that corporation hand out my book as a very good value instead of something that they can't use. And as far as the non-for-profits, think about it. If people can't tithe or donate to their church, the churches are all suffering, and they have to pay their electric bill. They have expenses too. Let's help them to sell something that they can actually get money back on and help the person they're getting. It's not just a spaghetti dinner. They're actually helping change people's lives with information.
Wonderful. Wow. Okay.
So they can contact me at the email address of jobs, J-O-B-S, at the book's website, stopmycrisis.com. That's jobs at stopmycrisis.com, which is the website for the book, stopmycrisis.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. And now this is a legitimate work-from-home opportunity. And Vivian Gaspar is looking for 3 individuals that she will train on how to do this. So, listeners, please take advantage of this. I tell you, this has been such a informative show. Vivian, I've learned so much, and I know our listeners have. Now, your book cover, Bankruptcy, Understanding the Basics, it covers, like I said, the chapter about getting help, parents getting help for children with special needs. What are some other areas that the book covers?
Well, another extremely helpful chapter is how to navigate the government assistance programs when you're having issues with your income. It doesn't mean you have no income, but what if you have, you're having trouble, for example, getting on long-term disability and people tell you you can't get it? Well, the lady who wrote that chapter actually helped one of my neighbors who was told by disability attorneys she couldn't get it, and now she has $2,000 a month for the rest of her life because of that author. So she gives a lot of really good information there. And then there's 15 chapters for small business owners, including just individual salespeople, how to grow and help their businesses. And just so much more. There's a full listing of the table of contents on the book's website, stopmycrisis.com. And just 1 or 2 quick tips for the few people who might want to know something for work from home, if I may.
Yes, yes.
Really quickly, if you can't find a job, create the need. If someone has a need that you can fill, really quick, what about full MBA students? What's an MBA student? It's somebody who has a career that's going to college at night for a better degree. They, I guarantee you, could use some help. Offer to MBA students maybe flat $10 an hour to help them with their research or typing or whatever as a personal virtual assistant. And if you offer them maybe whatever hours they want, whether it's 3 hours or 10 hours a week, if you put together 5 or 10 of those types of people, they could definitely fill some gaps in income. How about watching a child in your home or theirs for an overnight shift worker? People who work at hospitals or other places that operate 24/7, there's lots of single people who do that. You might not make $7 to $10 an hour, but what if while the child's sleeping, you can make $50 a night just to watch a sleeping child? These are unique ideas that people don't advertise for, but they have a need that maybe you could fill. And there's so many others, too, in the book.
Oh, Vivian. Oh, this has been wonderful. I thank you so much. We are unfortunately out of time, but Vivian, I applaud you again for taking your situation and turning it around to help others, and that fire and the passion that's behind you. And not only that, but the expertise and the knowledge that you have made available to people. People, get this book. I'm sorry, callers, we could not take questions this today, but make sure you tune in next week. Make sure you go to the website as well. And remember, Vivian is looking for three. I was going to take the one position. Vivian is looking for three individuals who are interested in earning money from home. And we're not talking about a little bit of money. We're talking about some decent money. Vivian, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gwen. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, I look forward to having you on the show again. I tell you, we just scratched the surface.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Anytime you want.
Wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and joining us. Make sure you tune in next week. And remember, success is a step-by-step process, with each step moving us closer to our desired goal. Here is wishing you love, peace, and success from the bottom of my soul. I'm G Money, and this is The Source of Wealth. Good night.
One.